Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "The dominion of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, the sower does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once the sower goes in with a sickle, because the harvest has come." Jesus also said, "With what can we compare the dominion of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. I was wandering around earlier. I told Brenda, "I'm just wandering around." Isn't there this management theory by wandering around? Maybe a new ministry by wandering around. Actually, and I see the children hiding back there. I was just trying to see if there were a couple. Now, Caitlin's in my confirmation class, but you might be doing me a favor if you would, and Andrew would come forward. Oh, and you got, yes, and and Esme, hi, yeah. Well, you notice on our bulletin today, what do you see? A tree. So we are talking about things that are growing. How many of you like trees? I really enjoy trees. Every morning I take my dog out and we go to Lafayette Square Park and we walk around under the trees. I really love them. And I know that my dog does too, because he stops at every one. But when you see all these trees, you know, there's one over here, there might be one here, one back there. But underneath, what is there? Underneath the trees, below the trunk, what does every tree have where it gets water and nourishment? And so, roots, that's right. I learned a really great thing about roots the other day, about there are supposedly as much root as there is tree. It goes way down. And they're doing stuff down there. The roots mingle and help and get together with the other roots of all the other trees. And they bring nourishment and sometimes water to help all of the trees grow. So that it's not just a single tree that's doing all these good things, but deep down below in the heart of the tree and its roots, they are a community together. And so they grow up individually and then have all these branches. In some ways, I think that's like us. We're individuals, but we have roots and hearts and thoughts and hopes that kind of mingle with one another. And we build a whole community. And we take care of one another and we give shade to one another. We pray for one another. And we help each other grow in Christ. I give thanks for you trees this day and the roots that you send down to help us all grow. Let's have a prayer together. thank you all for your courage in coming forward. And we pray for the roots that we have in Christ Jesus to grow, to mingle with one another, to build a strong community that we might be branches and shade and life for all people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. Thanks very much. Thank you as well. The dominion of God. We might say the realm of God, the rule of God, if we have an old translation of the scripture, and if we are thinking 2,000 years ago, we might say the kingdom of God, when there were monarchs that ruled. Or, given that Mark was writing at a time of the Roman Empire, which pretty much ruled the whole world, perhaps everyone thought in that case of the empire of God. And surely, that is the context in which Mark writes his gospel. In a time when Rome not only ruled the world, but in Mark's memory, probably his very recent experience in memory, Rome had destroyed the temple, the ruling seat of Mark's community of people, the very ruling place of God, the folks thought. So it might appear, in the wake of the destruction of the temple and of Jerusalem and the subjugation of the nation of Israel, that the dominion of God itself had been destroyed, that Rome and its Caesar, its own son of God, now ruled the world. It's an existential crisis, to use a term I hear a lot in the newspapers these days. We're having an existential crisis. A spiritual crisis, if you will, a crisis of identity. Have the people who followed and trusted the God of creation, the very God of liberation, the God of promise, been left only with the dust of death? A loss of hope, a loss of dreams, the very loss of identity itself, of their concept of being a self, of a community. Mark was living in and he was writing to such a situation of loss of hopes and dreams, a purpose, a value. So we might then ask, in our own reading this day, how this might also be true for us, perhaps personally or collectively. Are we experiencing an existential crisis? Does hope seem lost? Identity, meaning, called into question? Of what value are we? Do we feel abandoned by God, as the Israelite community was feeling? In our time, we may wonder, is God even there? Into the crisis of his day and into the crisis of our own day, Mark writes the gospel of the good news, in which Jesus announces another rule, another realm, a place and a future of hope. At the beginning of the gospel, Jesus says, change your mind, soften your heart, turn around, repent, believe the gospel. The dominion of God is at hand. What can it be? What can spark trust in us that it is truly there? How can we believe that God has spoken or willed these words, or that Jesus is the very advent of good news? What is the rule, the realm, the community of God like? Jesus might have said, as one of my old teachers used to say, thought you'd never ask. Jesus said the dominion of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground. And then a little later also he said, it is like a mustard seed. The seeds grow. And what first strikes me about these parables, these tales, these analogies to what the dominion of God is like, is that the growth of which Jesus speaks does not come by violence, by force, or coercion. We might at first say that growth comes by the very will of God, as witnessed by creation and the natural world. But there's a seed in the process. Strikes me that seed is Jesus, whose interaction with people, whose relationship with all people brings growth, brings life. And we don't see it always happening. Kind of like with our children coming forward. Just the fact that they come forward and help us. We don't see how the growth is occurring necessarily, but we feel it in our hearts. We're happy they were there. They also are proclaiming good news. And then it expands out, grows into community, the realm of God, as the word spreads, as life is spread. The realm of God brings hope and peace through these relationships of care, of creation, of life. Jesus speaks of that little mustard seed turns into the greatest of shrubs, the greatest of trees, if you will. I think of the tree of life, which I think a bulletin cover tries to illustrate. It's a good thing to think of. Under it, every kind of bird will live. In the shade of its branches will nest all the winged creatures of every kind. Jesus is echoing, shall we say, even fulfilling the words of the prophet Ezekiel here. The tree, the shrub, is the nation, the community. Life does not come from violence, physical or verbal. In Jesus and Mark's time, this was a very direct challenge to peace through war and violence of the Roman Empire. It also challenged Jesus' own religious community that ruled often through the violence of a legal structure that excluded some and accepted others. Don't we live with parallels? We cite the law to separate families. We even cite scripture to separate families lately. We practice violence of prejudice or exclusion to create communities for some while excluding others. Throughout the ages, we all ask, we all pray, how can we learn new ways? The whole Gospel of Mark is about a new way. We learn by parables, Jesus says. We learn by stories. We learn by stories because we find ourselves in them. Jesus, it says, explained it all in privacy. But you know what? If you read through the Gospel of St. Mark, you realize the disciples never got it. Even the Son of God couldn't explain it clearly to them. Perhaps because the story was not yet over. Jesus would be the seed that is planted in the ground. He would not only challenge the violence of sin and death in the world, but he would bear it in his own person, for every person, for we have all participated in the violence of exclusion, of prejudice, of lifting some up over others. But in the story of the living God, Jesus rises in God's new creation. He brings life to us through forgiveness and through the promise of resurrection life, which we experience as a foretaste by ourselves being called, as the children I encourage, to be seeds of welcome, of forgiveness, of growth and exclusion. Branches of the trees to shelter many. Perhaps echoing Paul, in faith we walk, in finding ourselves in the story. In the story of Jesus, we are also then scattered about as seeds, as words, as faithful people. We also don't know, we can't determine, can't force the growth to occur. But we trust in Christ's forgiveness and the promise of life, that in welcome and care in Christ, the realm of God will appear in our world and in the world to come. Amen.